The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Stop it.
Happy birthday, loverubberly.com. Happy birthday to you.
You didn't have to give everybody your best singing voice.
Do you like that?
Not really, no. I would have said, get out. You've not made my X Factor list.
Don't care. Not bothered. Yeah, loverubberly.com is 13 years old. It was originally called The Last Tackle, but now it's called loverubberly.com. This is The Fan of Hooter. He's David Parkinson. I'm Adrian Jackson. And we're on The Fan of Hooter podcast on loverubberly.com. Thanks very much to our friends at Radio General, the sound for Warrington Hospital, to allow us to use the studio.
Yeah. Hopefully it makes us sound that little bit better.
Speak for yourself. Ultra pros we are.
I noticed you sort of coughed then, just as I said. Yeah. So what we're going to be talking about
I ain't
going to
be singing anyway. I thought, because loverubberly.com is 13 years old, let's have a flashback. Let's have a retro rubbly year of 2005, which is when loverubberly.com was set up, or Last Tackle.
Right, okay.
By James Gordon. And it's here, the number one website for rugby league.
Okay. So this was 2005.
It is, yeah. I'm not sure how old rugby league was back in that year, but it was 10 years into Super League.
So 105, really.
105, you're massive better than mine. Then.
Yeah.
In this particular year, we had 12 teams.
In Super League.
Just the 12 teams in Super League, yeah.
Never work.
Never work, will it?
Did we have a top five playoff, or was it a little bit more
six.
By that stage?
It was a top six playoff. St. Helens were top of the pile after 28 rounds.
They had a great team at that stage, didn't they?
I've got a feeling we must have had a loop round of games.
I think we had more than a loop round of games. I think we're a bit nutty, to be honest.
Yeah. St. Helens top of the pile, 47 points on the board. The top six was Leeds in second, Bradford third, Warrington fourth, Holt fifth. Get this, London Broncos sixth position.
It seems to cut a bit too far, does that playoff system, though, with the six teams? Because if you look at it, London Broncos were a pretty average side, weren't they?
19 points behind London, behind St. Helens.
It's a lot of points, that.
So anyway,
just don't look at the bottom of that table. I know what's coming up.
We'll come back to that. Let's just talk about the playoff series. We had the elimination playoff. So London Broncos were knocked out by Bradford Bulls. Warrington were knocked out by Hull FC. Then in the semis, we had the elimination semi-final. A big win here. Bradford 71. Hull FC 0.
I remember watching that on Sky. What a game that was. It was an awesome performance from Bradford.
Well, Lee Radford can take comfort from that. That doesn't just happen in 2018 when you're getting beat 17-18. It happened back then in the semi-final.
He was probably part of that Bradford team.
He probably was, actually. In the qualifying semis, we saw Leeds defeat St. Helens in 1916.
I'm glad that was a bit more of a close affair.
And then in the final eliminator, Bradford Bulls defeated St. Helens 23-18, which set up the grand final, and it was won by Bradford Bulls 15-6 against the Leeds Rhinos.
So what's that I hear?
What?
St. Helens finished top of the pile, but yes. Didn't make the grand final.
Didn't make the grand final.
Ooh.
Shock, horror. Only in rugby league, mate.
Only in rugby league.
Yeah. Two were relegated in this particular year, by the way.
And this was the season just before Catalans were introduced to the league, wasn't it?
They were unsure whether it was going to be one or two teams were going to be relegated from the league at the end of the season in order to make way for new entrants. Catalans were one, and then they promoted one team from the championship.
They did. I'll come on to that in just a little while about the championship.
The two teams that were relegated were Widnes and Lee.
No change there then, looking a few years later.
Exactly. Flash forward 13 years, Lee already in the championship. It looks like Widnes are heading that way as well.
There were always good games between Lee and Widnes in the championship anyway. Let's bring them back.
Bring back the bash at the summer bash, Lee versus Widnes.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
There you go. It's always a positive. Sorry, Widnes fans.
Did you know that in this year, 2005, the Rugby League National Leagues were known as the LHF Health Plan National Leagues due to sponsorship.
Wow. Okay. That's a mouthful.
Was a competition which included 10 teams in National League 1, 10 teams in National League 2, and we even had 10 teams making up a National League 3 competition, which was basically all amateur. But, interestingly enough, contained Bramley Buffaloes,
famous
who were
trying
to get back.
Famous old name.
Warrington Wizards, who were now Wolston Rovers again.
Okay, yeah.
Hemel Stags.
Okay.
And Coventry Bears.
Wow. The Bears were knocking around even back then.
Even the likes of Underbank Rangers, who are now playing back in the Conference Division, who are now in the top division of the Conference, they were in this league, along with Gateshead Storm, and interestingly enough as well, Essex Eels.
Who are Essex Eels?
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether they knew each other. Because
they didn't win a game.
They played 18 games, lost them all, scored 181 points and conceded almost 1,200, but 1,194.
Listen, less than West Wales.
It is. Bradford Dudley Hill were top of the pile, 17 wins and a loss.
Bradford Dudley Hill? They were like one of the famous old teams
geographically?
No.
They're currently bottom of League Division 1 of the Conference.
Right.
Looking like they're going to get relegated to the lower division there, which they got promoted from last season, actually. There was a playoff campaign in this National League 3. It ended up with St Albans Centurions defeated Hemel Stags in the first round. Warrington Wizards defeated Sheffield Hillsborough Hawks also in week 2. Bradford Dudley Hill lost out to Bramley Buffaloes. St Albans Centurions defeated Warrington Wizards by 46 points to 24. Then Bradford Dudley Hill won through in their final eliminator against the St Albans Centurions. That set up a grand final against Bramley Buffaloes, and Bradford Dudley Hill won by 28-26.
All right, okay.
There was a secondary grand final, though. I'm confused at this, really.
I am.
Yeah, there was a secondary game, apparently, which saw Coventry Bears defeat Warrington Wolston 48-24. Now, whether that's just been slipped in, maybe it was to even things up somewhere online. Who knows?
Listen, it's rugby league. Don't do anything straightforward.
In National League 2, York City Knights were top of the pile, so there's certainly some sort of symmetry regarding what's going on now. Other teams that were in that league, Dewsbury Rams, Workington Town, Swinton Lions, Hunslet Hawks, Gateshead Thunder, Sheffield Eagles, Keighley Cougars, Blackpool Panthers were second bottom, London Scholars were bottom. 2 wins from 18 for the Scholars. Interestingly enough, they had a promotion playoff that also included a team from the division higher. It's very complicated to explain, but I'll do my best. So you had Swinton beating Hunslet.
We've only got half an hour, you know.
Yeah, you're okay.
Right, okay.
Workington beating Gateshead. Then in the next round, that's where Batley came in. They played against Dewsbury Rams, who finished second in National League 2. Batley, by the way, were third bottom of National League 1. So basically, when Batley won that, they got through to the grand final. Workington defeated Swinton. I can see your eyes glazing over already.
Yes.
Dewsbury defeated Workington, and then it set up that heavy woolen derby in the grand final. And it just meant that Batley Bulldogs were able to retain the status as a League One club.
So basically, that's like an early version of the qualifying eight.
Very much so. Yeah, it was really. It was like winner stays on, basically. Yeah. So Featherstone and Barrow were relegated from the division above at National League One level. Oldham were the only team that didn't take part in anything in the postseason. The teams that finished in the playoff positions in National League One were Whitehaven, who finished top, won the only silverware that their club has ever won. Castleford Tigers, Hull Kingston Rovers were third, Halifax fourth, Doncaster fifth, Rochdale Hornets fighting above the weight in sixth position.
Despite all that, though, it was only Castleford and Whitehaven who were told their grounds were eligible for promotion into Super League.
Yeah, what if I remember was that the time when the Shay was still being done up. It was a right tip at that stage where
people might still say it is.
Well, yeah, but it's mainly finished now.
It is, yeah, it's finally done. Yeah.
It is, you know, but at this stage it wasn't. I just remember for years having to film from behind the posts of a section of the ground that they never used to open to anybody else. But Castleford Tigers did fight their way through to the grand final alongside Whitehaven, defeated Whitehaven by 36 points to 8.
The only trophy up for grabs other than league titles was the Challenge Cup in this particular year, and that was won by Hull FC in Cardiff. It was the Paul Cook one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It was Cookie's year.
Run through a couple of these players that played.
Oh, wow.
Have you got the lineups?
Yeah. Fullback was Richie Mathers.
Is the Leeds Ryan.
Mark Calderwood.
Yeah.
Chev Walker.
Chev, yeah.
Keith Senior. Marcus Bai. Kevin Sinfield. Robbie Burrow. Ryan Bailey. Matt Diskin. Danny Ward.
All right, okay.
Ali Lawatiti. Chris McKenna and Gareth Ellis.
Goodness, it's like the Brains Trust. They're nearly all from the coaches now, aren't they?
Danny Maguire was on the bench alongside Andrew Dunham, great player. Willie Poaching. Jamie Jones-Buchan still going.
So there's only Jamie Jones and Ryan Bailey still going from that one, isn't there?
You go through the winners. Motu Tony, Nathan Blacklock, Kurt Yeaman, Richard Whiting, Gareth Rayner, Richard Horn, Danny Brophy still going, Ewan Dowles, Richard Swain, Gareth Carvel, Shane McMenemy, Steve Kearney, Paul Cook on the bench, Paul King, Jamie Thackeray, Tommy Saxon, Chris Chester.
So, again, a first year of coaches in that lot, isn't there, these days?
And despite Leeds losing the game, Kevin Sinfield got Lance Todd.
That's unusual. Yeah. Who voted that?
Even though it was Cookie's year, he didn't get the Lance Todd.
Who voted that? I remember Paul Cook having a great game in that game as well.
Yeah, so that's who won that one. This particular trophy was more famous for Toulouse Olympic at shocking witness in the quarterfinals.
I think there's another result that stands out in that lot as well, wasn't there? Also in the quarterfinals, St Helens against Wigan.
75-0.
75-0.
Wigan fans still have nightmares about that.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So that's who won that. Back in Super League, the Man of Steel was Jamie Lyon.
Oh, yeah. So that was his one season at St Helens, was it?
He did 2 years.
Oh, did he do two?
Yeah. Top point scorer, Paul Deacon. Top try scorer, Mark Calderwood. And who can ever forget the legend coming over for Warrington, Andrew Johns.
His three-game stint, which was meant to guarantee Warrington as a massive, massive club and get him to Old Trafford.
Yeah, that's when that happened. A long time ago, that, wasn't it? Feels like yesterday. Yeah. Feels like yesterday, that.
Adrian, you've aged me. I don't believe it.
I've aged myself as we talked through that one. Do you remember it? Remember all the hype about it?
I do remember it, yeah. Wow. It was probably the most lucrative three-game contract anybody's ever signed anywhere.
Some people in Warrington were talking about that for years to come.
Oh,
Where was you the night Andrew Johns run out for Warrington?
I think I watched it on Sky, because didn't they play Leeds?
Leeds first game.
Yeah, I remember it.
I remember going down to the grounds to interview the king himself.
Elvis?
No.
I thought he died by then.
Andrew Johns. The number of fans outside the ground was unbelievable. You'd have thought royalty had come to town.
So it was almost like you were stepping onto a movie set, was it?
Yeah.
There was that many people around.
Always good to look back, isn't it?
It is. I love those. Retro years.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the rugby league.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I like looking back on the old season, but there's nothing better than to look ahead to the current season. And in League One, and certainly in the Championship, it's in the qualifying, it's certainly getting interesting.
Oh, it definitely is, yeah. I mean, the stories to be told all the way across the leagues, isn't there? You've got York City Knights sitting pretty at the top, but still having pressure put on them by Bradford Bulls. And then there's a whole sequence of events that could happen regarding that the rest of the playoff position in that
region.
Yeah,
what's going to happen on Friday? Who knows?
We just don't know. Yeah, it is. It's going to be nuts, isn't it? I wonder what we're going to hear and what we're going to be discussing on the next Final Hooter podcast.
And in the qualifiers, the race for the £1 million game. Looks like Widnes are out of it, but they're adamant they're not out of it. They're not going to give up. But, you know, it's pretty close, isn't it?
It's a daunting prospect for Widnes now, isn't it? Because not only do they have to win three of the next three games and go unbeaten, they're also trying to overcome the worst run in the history.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, is it 20 competitive Super League and Super 8 broken up with that big win against Coventry in the Cup? And that gives them, was it 16 consecutive defeats off the top of the head?
16 consecutive defeats, yeah. I mean, it's one heck of a bad run, that, isn't it?
Not one since March, and they're expecting now to win 3 games and survive. In fact, 4 games they want to survive in Super League.
Mind you, what about Salford? I mean, Salford have really got their act together in these qualifying eights, haven't they?
Yeah, Jackson Hastings seems to be the man, but he's got himself in a bit of trouble. It'd be interesting to see how many games he gets suspended for.
Two matches he's got. Yeah, right. So he'll still be able to make one more appearance, one would think, before they've got to decide on his future.
Looks like the £1 million game is going to be a fight between the London Broncos, Toulouse and Toronto.
Yeah, three really good championship sides who can all score points and have all been, you know, conceding points for fun at certain points over the season. But, yeah, it could all come down to point difference, that, you know.
Could do.
I'm just looking at it now, and Toronto's won two, London's won two, Toulouse have won two. Toronto have the slightly better point difference of +8, London Broncos of -1, and Toulouse of -10. So there's not a lot in it.
So when all that's being digested and the road to Old Trafford is being settled, we have a couple of weeks off, and it's all about International Rugby League. New Zealand will be coming to town. Test games in Hull, Liverpool, and then in Leeds. Mm-hmm. We've got the European Nations Tournament. Mm-hmm. But you're not bothered because you're on the day. You're in Fiji.
I am, yes. It's another tour that's happening. This the Bala Tour in Lions. So there's going to be myself and a squad of 30 players all
can
heading over.
Come on, come on. Get us a ticket.
Why didn't you ask us about 6 months ago?
Oh, listen, I'd quite happily give me trips up to Hull, Liverpool and Leeds up to go Fiji.
No.
I'm sure you'll need a bag carrier. Come on.
I'm sure you'll just enjoy
listen,
yourself.
Use your influence within the Bala setup.
What makes you think I've got any influence?
You must have. You caught up with the Bala captain, so you must have something about you.
I did. Well, ahead of this tour, Bala have announced the touring captain, and it's none other than Hunslet Club Parkside's skipper and main man, Jamie Fields.
Come on, let me go.
Well, Jamie Fields, congratulations on being named tour captain. Just give an idea of what that honour means to you.
Yeah, it's massive. Having represented Bala before and Gary and Rents choosing me as tour captain, mate, it's a massive, massive privilege. And I'm absolutely buzzing to do so. You know, it's a job, but I'll do it to the best of my ability. It'll push me as a individually and as a group, collectively. I think I mentioned to the lads at start, like, there's going to be 24 leaders out there. You know, I've been nominated by the coaches to pass their messages through, but ultimately I want 24 leaders, and that's what I'll pull through a successful tour.
Thinking about it, what's your credentials?
Yeah, my second year this year, being club captain. I've obviously captained Yorkshire as well to a tour win, and then now Bala captain. It's like a roller coaster. It's just gathered momentum, and you know, we're onto good things, and hopefully we can carry it on through.
I mean, as you mentioned, it's sort of a massive honour, and it's a big challenge going over to Fiji, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've talked about every session. They're physical, they're athletic. They're gonna cause problems in every area of our game. So when we are together, we've got to scrub up well on things, and to take things into different accounts, different scenarios, and putting ourselves under pressure, because they're going to do that. We've got to be physical back with them. You know, we're talented as well in our own right. We've been picked to play for Great Britain, and you don't get picked to play for Great Britain if you're not good. So we'll cause them problems, but it's going to be a tough tour and one that we're relishing.
Quick word domestically, because I know every time I've seen you've been like the main man at Hunslet Club Parkside, goal kicker, little passes a couple of years ago, near top at try scoring charts. Has that continued this season for you? I know it's been a superb season for the club, hasn't it, so far?
Yeah, like I say, it'd have been ignorant of us to go up and think we were going to do what we've done in that league. It's caught us by surprise. You know, like it at club level, though, you know, there's 13 other lads in there who are outstanding, who could be sat in this room along with me. It's just, yeah, I score a lot of tries, I kick goals, and it's probably what catches people's eyes. But it's just a rollercoaster. Like I say, it's come on and on. But in our club, we have a lot of good players, and, you know, I lead them, and I'm proud to do so.
Sounds like he's going to be a good club captain for the Bala.
Oh, he'll be a fantastic ambassador. And I've just got to correct myself there, because...
Go on, why?
He's been the top try scorer at Hunslet Club Parkside for the last 3 years, as they've rampaged this way all the way up to the Premier Division. They're now on a 22-game winning streak. It's just tremendous. You couldn't
Unreal,
ask for
that,
much
isn't
better.
It? Yeah,
it's almost like complete polar opposite to Widnes.
You just show me a picture of the guy. Man, mountain.
He is. He's going to be a handful. He's going to be a real handful for defences out there in Fiji.
I'm amazed he's not being picked up by the pro guys.
To be fair, having seen him play over the last few years, I'm surprised as well. He's a fantastic player, great ambassador, and he'll do a great job there as well.
A great player within the world of rugby. He's been there and done it, hasn't he? He's been there and done it.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the T-shirt, still enjoying his rugby, still playing. You caught up with the one and only Graham Horne. Let's hear from it.
Joined by Graham Horne, victorious Graham Horne. That's got to be a really, really tough game, that, today.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, we knew what was coming up against when we came down here. Obviously, we had a tough time at Whitehaven a few months ago, and we knew what was getting. And obviously, the weather obviously helped a little bit in that as well. So, I think, obviously, you know, it was just great to come away with a win. And we've took this really seriously, you know. We've come down yesterday, we've stayed over last night. And you know, the clubs obviously put the money up for that, and you know, we see these as a massive threat. You know, they've gone really well, obviously beat Bradford last game. Well, they've beat them home and away now, so we knew as well that first game when we played them at home, you know, it was tough for the first 30 minutes, you know, and obviously we prevailed in the end. But you know what you get with working, and obviously Leon's done a great job there.
A couple of long range tries in that second half really did tip it, didn't they, your way?
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, you need that little bit of luck sometimes, and to come to these places and win, you know, I think if we'd have got a bit of them in the Whitehaven game, you know, it was, we'd have got that one as well, but obviously we didn't, and this one we have. And I think, you know, sometimes you need them, and you know, obviously you're not working, and was brilliant today, and you know, either team could have won that game, and I think any result would have, for either one of us, would have been right.
Was your hat in your mouth a little bit when that play where the kick came in? You're thinking, if Elliot Miller text that?
That was in my mouth a few times, and you know, it was a great game of rugby, and you know, great for the fans. You know, they've really publicised it well, and you know, it was great for Wickham. I'm not sure what the crowd was.
1600
like,
the time.
Brilliant. You know, that's great for them, isn't it? And is it, you know, great that we can get some crowds down here, up here, and it was a great spectacle.
How are you finding your time at York?
Love it. You know, I've loved it. I've loved. Obviously, I've got into the coaching side as well. You know, I'm assistant coach, which I've loved doing. You know, with 4D, he's learnt me a lot. And obviously with Sperry and stuff like that as well, so I'm always learning that side. And you know, just the lads, you know, a great set of lads. You can't not like any one of them, and it's you know, great. They're great to be around. And we'll have a nice trip home now. It's been great, and I'm loving every minute of it. So
you mentioned there about stepping into, you know, coaching. Is that long term? What are you thinking of now?
You know, just learning. Obviously, I'm still obviously loving playing. So hopefully, I can do that as long as I can. And then from there, you know, hopefully, you know, you don't know where it leads you.
Because will people look towards, you know, the fact that your brothers took the old coaching reins?
Yeah, no, I don't know. You know, obviously, my brother took that, and he, you know, he's doing real well at Donny, and he's enjoying it. I know he's enjoying it. So, it's challenging sometimes, which obviously I watch Fordy, and I see how stressed out he is sometimes, and it is a challenge. You know, and I'm sure every other coach is the same. It is a massive challenge for him. You know, especially in these leagues, you know, obviously you've got part-time players, you know, they've got jobs as well, so it's tough. And you know, and that's what I've really liked. You know, I've learned both sides of it. Obviously, I've been in a full-time environment with Rovers and things like that, and I've seen like the other side of it. You know, where you've got to obviously get players up after they've just done, you know, probably 12 hours a day shifts for 5 days. So you know, it's different ways of coaching, and you know, it's brilliant. It's brilliant to learn that stuff.
You can tell that it was after the Workington game.
Oh yeah, that interview all held after Workington. I tried to get the least windiest position that I could.
Listen,
there's no
non-windy positions up Derwent Park. End of.
What a top bloke! What a top bloke! I mean, he's been going since 2002. Can you believe that?
It's a long time, that, isn't it? And still enjoying his rugby.
But he seems to be enjoying it far more now, and he's been given that bit more responsibility by James Ford. He's leading from the front. He's actually playing prop forward these days. Where, you know, looking at him, he was never the largest of guys, was he? You know, I mean, he's tipping the scales at 16.5 stone, but there's bigger forwards knocking around in League One than him. But he's certainly lending his know-how to what is turning into a very memorable season for York City Knights.
Yeah, it looks like York are in the control seat. They look like the favourites. But again, that could all change on Friday. We don't know what's going to happen.
No, we don't. We don't. But let's just concentrate on what we can concentrate on. And as you mentioned, York in some superb form. They eked out Oldham at the weekend by 10-6. So they've still nudged in front of that Bradford Bulls juggernaut that has been threatening to take League One by storm all season.
Yep. Okay. While you were there, I was at Leeds on Sunday. And Leeds, Okay, not playing champagne rugby league, but they're doing enough to get through these eights.
Yeah, it's not really sparkling, is it? No. It's not the leads that we've come to know over the last few years. I mean, they seem to have good year, bad year, good year, bad year. So they're on a bad year at the moment, aren't they? I just wonder with the whole structure change, whether just what sort of state they'll be in come the next sort of couple of seasons.
Well, they've named a new coach, haven't they? David Ferner coming to town at the end of this season. But Kevin Sinfield's still going to be there, and we'll hear from him right now.
I thought it was a really good game, actually. I thought witnessed through some things at us, and I thought they played pretty well. We expected it to be really tense. I really liked our attitude, the way we stuck in there. But it was certainly tense, and I'm just pleased that we were able to come through it. You know, defensively we were a whole lot better than last week, which was something we worked on this week. I thought we copped a fair amount of penalties, especially on our own line, and had to defend and back up and look after each other, and we were able to do that. And I think it's probably two stints of defence that get us that game. One in the first half where I think we went three or four back-to-back sets, and then there was a spell in the second half where we did it again. And I think to have our travelling support behind us whilst we were doing that, it was a big moment for them, but made a huge difference to the players. And hopefully, you know, we can get through what's to come now, but hopefully it's one of those games our fans who've made the trip over remember, and remember for all the right reasons how tense it was. But I think the support they gave us was outstanding there.
Two moments of quality from Liam Sutcliffe
when
it mattered as well.
Yep. I just thought it was okay today. But you're right, when he comes up with those special moments, he shows why he can be the player he will hopefully turn into. I thought that at the end was pretty special. We'd worked down that right edge a fair bit, and Sutty, when he carries the ball like that, is very dangerous. And thankfully we got through, and we made sure those last 2 minutes weren't as tense as what the rest of the 78 were. So I have to give a mention here to Jack Walker. I thought he had an unbelievable game for us. I thought just a real bundle of energy, and he was involved in everything good about us, and he was excellent today, as was, I have to say, our old stager Jamie Jones. I thought he was probably the best forward on the field. And when you've got guys like that in your team who've been around the block and care about this club so much, and they're prepared to go through what he went through again today, it's a testament to him. Still a bit to do. I think 3 from 4 looks a lot better than 2 from 4. But it's a bit to do. We look forward to, after this now, you know, we look forward to playing Salford next week. I think they give us a bit of a touch up about 5 weeks ago at their place, and yeah, we look forward to playing against them. We've still got, everybody keeps telling me we need 10 points, but we'll see. We've got 3 tough games to come. Thankfully the next one's at home, and that was pretty tense anyway, that one today, and we'll see where we end up.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Would you agree with Sir Kev? 10 is the magic number for safety in the top three?
Well, that's what's been the go-to figure. 10 has actually got you promoted in previous years. So, yeah, I think once you hit that 10-point buffer, you're virtually safe, aren't you? Interesting, some of the wording that he used there. I mean, he described Liam Sutcliffe as not quite reaching that potential yet, but having that ability. You was at the game. What did you reckon? Did he come up with something special?
He did, yeah. There's some stuff you think, wow, this guy's ace. Mm. But then he showed the flip sides of his game where I can see from a coaching point of view, and for the fans as well, he does some stuff there. You think, wow, what are you doing?
I mean,
frustrating.
He's been kind of like knocking on the door there at Leeds for a few
years.
Yeah,
he's always been tipped as a man to replace, like, to Kevin Sinfield and Danny McGuay. He's just not took the role. He's not took the role by the scruff of the neck.
And I suppose as well, has he got that much support from his half-back partner?
I don't know. That's what Leeds fans who watch it week in, week out. Who knows? But there's obviously, he's got the potential. can he be the man to fill that them boots? I don't know. But Leeds seem to be a squad of players like that, don't they? They seem to have a lot of players coming through that have got their potential. Challenges, can they fulfil that potential? And one guy we're going to hear from right now, Jack Walker, it definitely comes into that category. Oh, Jack Walker, that was an intense affair against Midlands Vikings today.
Yeah, real intense. I think it were about 35 minutes until the first like major mistake, and fortunately it went our way. But yeah, real intense game.
And for you guys, it was all about the win, but and you grounded out.
Yeah, like I said, it was a real intense game, and I thought every single one of us dug deep and worked hard for each other throughout the whole of the game. And there were very, very minimal spells where people had switched off, but yeah, I thought everyone worked well.
In the grand scheme of things, how much of a big win is this for you guys?
Yeah, it's a massive win for us. So, like I say, we just work hard every week. We do our best, and we just see what happens.
Did you make a witness?
I'd say is their best performance of the year so far. Real made it tough for us to get the win. But yeah, I thought all credit to Widnes, but I'm glad we came on top.
Obviously you are. How did you feel you went during the match?
I thought I did alright. About 60 minutes in I started cramping up. It's only my second game back, but I thought my performance was alright.
New coach announced for next season. So what's the mood like amongst the guys with that news?
To be fair, I don't even know if people are thinking about it just now. His main focus is these middle eights and just getting safe, really. But yeah, it's obviously great to have him on board. Great to have him on board.
Next up, Salford Red Devils. That's going to be another big game for you guys.
Yeah, so I think if we beat them, we're guaranteed safe. It's a massive game for us. I think from a performance like today, it'll really help us going into that game.
Tisha, personally, is this a good learning curve being in these eights?
Yeah, it's a massive learning curve for me. Obviously, last year, just coming into a winning culture and going on and winning the grand final, and this year it's totally different where we're in middle eights. It's a massive learning curve for me. Like today, was real the pressure of the game. Real difficult, and you just have to grind out the win.
Because the AR leads, is there pressure on you guys match in, match out?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Obviously, Leeds, from the history of Leeds, it's winning culture in it. So, a lot of pressure today, and I thought everyone did well.
He's got a lot of potential, hasn't he?
He has got a lot of potential. I like what I see in the kid, to be honest, because he runs the ball back with no fear.
Mm.
He's confident underneath a high ball, and positionally, in defence, he's usually quite solid there as well.
Without a doubt. I do think Leeds will be safe, despite Kevin Sinfield's concerns. They're not playing the best rugby, but they should get through this. And then it's all about next year when David Ferner will come into the role.
I find that a really interesting appointment, you know, because, I mean, he's got a bit of culture there, hasn't he? So he has played with Leeds before during his playing days, and so he does know the place, but is he one of these that you can say a coach that has never really made the grade in Australia? Could you?
Without knowing a lot about the Australian game, I can't answer that one, I'm afraid.
He's been an assistant
coach.
Listen,
I watch proper rugby league. I don't watch the razzmatazz of the NRL.
Yeah, he's been an assistant at a couple of places.
Has
he's
he?
Been a head coach at Canberra Raiders and didn't seem to achieve much there.
Right.
However, his dad was very highly rated.
Is he? Yeah. Who's his dad? Mr. Ferner?
Don Ferner.
All right, okay.
Don Ferner played for the Aussies and was a team selector for years as well.
Some interesting games in the Super 8s as the road to Old Trafford heats up. And St. Helens were expected to get the league leader shield at home 2 rounds ago, but there's no way Sean Wayne and his Wigan Warriors were going to let them pit that up in front of them.
You know,
he even said that after the game, we didn't want to be stood there at Lantry Park with them picking up the league leader shield.
And that was a brilliant game as well, wasn't it? You know, it was everything that we've come to expect and what we want a Super League. It was high intensity, it was highly skilled, there were brilliant finishes all over the place, and some damn fine performances.
Don't rule out the Warriors, because I tell you what, they showed something in that game that made you think that they're on a mission.
I agree with you. I think that really they're flying at the moment. So yeah.
Well, Sean, your thoughts on that win?
Superb, happy. I thought it was very competitive. I thought the way we defended was outstanding for sure. A lot of mongrel in our D, and we just meant a lot to us. You know, they threw the goal and doing that. They didn't want it. We weren't bothered about the league leader, but the 3-0 was more important, and we didn't want that to be on our watch. So the way the players have dug in and responded, he's been fantastic.
Considering the disruption with Sam alert withdrawal, I mean, from 1 to 17, 8, 9, 9 out of 10 performances.
Yeah, we did good. You know, when Sam's, we play different when Morgan's at fullback to when Sam does, but we've practiced with Sam there all week, so major disruption. But how we got over that and scored from class tries was, they're just natural rugby players, natural competitors, and we showed that today.
And you pulled it back from being 3-0, like you said, to 2-1, and winning here on your last game in the game at the moment at Wigan against Saints. That must be pleasing.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm happy. It was a very, very emphatic victory for us in many ways, and our defence was tough, both sides of the ball. Our attack was good, so I'm very, very happy with it. I'm happy with how we got to the end of our sets. I'm happy with our composure. Our completions were quite high. We didn't make that many errors, so. There's lots of things to be happy about.
Why couldn't you say we've shown a lot of pedigree in defence, not mongrel?
Oh, well, that's not part of it, is it? You want him to get stuck in, so it's showing that bit of mongrel spirit. I'd like Sean
Listen,
Wayne.
Listen, I like pedigree.
I like Sean Wayne. I think he's a top bloke for starters.
He's going to be missed to the game, isn't he?
He will be missed, yeah. I mean, when are we going to get these high-intensity Saints and Wigan games from? When Adrian Lamb comes in, surely he won't know.
I'm sure he'll fire him up, won't he?
Man, yeah, I suppose so.
And then Sean Edwards is in town the year after that.
Ooh, that could be fireworks in itself, couldn't it? With Sean Edwards coming back to rugby league.
Yeah, great game at Lantree Park. Wigan showing that they're going to be a real threat for the league title when it comes down to it. But Warrington as well, though, they're certainly in there. It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. But they had a cracking game against Huddersfield. Huddersfield, obviously, the start of the season has been the Achilles here, but they've ended the season so strongly. And that game against Warrington was fantastic.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good. I mean, Jake Mamo scoring a hat trick. Some of the young players coming through at Huddersfield as well, really setting a lead for them. But
Danny Barough is the man for him still.
Yeah. But you just think he's another year older, isn't it? He surely can't go on, but he still keeps getting top draw performances out of him, doesn't he? But Warrington was superb in being able to overtake them, weren't they, and win the game. And we're going to hear from Steve Price right now as our final word.
Yeah, it was... what we had to do to get the result was... I'm just very pleased for the group of men out there to go out there and we just found a way to win. They're a good team, Huddersfield. Since Germ's come on board, they're changed a fair amount of their systems and structures, and they've been one of those top four teams over the last 10 to 12 weeks. So it's good to it's finally cement that top four spot. I felt like we're in control, but credit to Huddersfield for coming back there. I was impressed with Bryson Goodwin. Had another strong game. 5 tries last week, and he had some big moments tonight. Steph Ratchford, he had some really good moments. Jack Hughes doing a phenomenal job through that middle third for us also. And Daz Clark had some good moments too. So there were some positive moments throughout the 80 minutes. That was 22-14. Always felt we were in control there, and they got that long range line break over on our right edge and scored off the back of that, which was disappointing. But it was just a credit to the boys to be able to hang tough and just find a way. Ugly wins, you got to do what you got to do. Cemented that top four, but in saying that, we need to keep raising the bar and keep going up a few more cogs to build momentum into the semi-finals.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.